After the theme of living water that the readings gave us to contemplate last week with that scene of the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, the church this week offers us the image of light, of Jesus as the light of the world, and the way that God tends to reverse our categories and invites us to see not just normally as men see, but to see as God sees. Now, this long passage, it's true, Lent is good about working on our endurance, our perseverance, gives us these nice long gospel passages, make us stand up and listen with attention. And this long passage begins, of course, with the blind man who then is able to see, and ends with those who think they see everything so clearly, but are told by Jesus that they are truly blind at heart. And so our passage begins with a subtle but oh so important note that says Jesus, as he was passing by, saw a man born blind. Jesus saw this man, this beggar, this blind man on the side of the street that perhaps was invisible to others. Jesus sees these people who are invisible to others. And when we might take another route, we might distance ourselves, Jesus draws near. And we note that Jesus' disciples and the Pharisees, the first thing they want to talk about when they see this man with troubles are his sins. They say, well, Jesus, this guy's in a bad way. It must be his fault. Did he sin or did his parents sin? How did he get here? But Jesus doesn't enter into that logic of pointing out sins first and foremost. We see this in this scene and time and again when Jesus encounters someone in the Gospels. His first look isn't to the person's sins, but to the person's suffering, the person's need. And it's to that that he wants to speak. It's that he wants to heal. And so, of course, he heals this man's blindness, mixing saliva with dirt, that great earthy scene. But it's also curious to note that this miracle, this healing, takes up very little space in that long gospel passage. The healing itself is recounted in only two verses at the beginning of the passage. And then we have many more paragraphs that talk about what happened later. Now this tells us that the evangelist, the gospel writer, wanted to draw our attention not so much to the miracle in and of itself, but to the reactions to that miracle, to the reactions to that encounter with Jesus. Not only to the healing, but then to the gossip that sprung up later. How do people receive this news? How do they talk about it? These people who are searching for God. And so the scene gives us four examples, four different groups that show us different ways that people responded to Jesus' healing. And so we'll briefly look at these four and realize that we may be able to identify with certain of these groups. Maybe depending on the day, we feel more like one than the other, or a mixture of all four. And the first we see enter the scene are the neighbors of the man born blind. They saw the commotion, they heard something interesting had happened, so they come with their curiosity and they ask about it. Well, what happened? Who was it? How'd he do it? Now, these neighbors represent those who like to question others, but not themselves, who have that superficial curiosity they want to have satisfied, but then they don't go any deeper with their questions. They don't ask themselves serious questions. They don't go to the root of the problem. And so they look without really seeing. And once they get their gossip fix, they move on and they move out of our scene in today's gospel. The next group that we encounter are the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, we know, like to ask questions and deep questions. And they represent those who interrogate others, but don't see how that interrogation of other people reveals their own hypocrisy. in this scene, they are the protectors of the status quo. Everything is established and predictable. And if Jesus is shaking this up, well then, he must not be from God. God for them is not newness of life, but order and security. And now it's notable that neither the Pharisees nor anyone else in the scene rejoices with this man who was born blind and then is given his sight for the first time. Amongst all the reactions, no one rejoices when this man sees the light of the sun for the first time. For the first time in his life, can see what color his mother's eyes are. This beautiful human moment is missed by the Pharisees who know the law, but they don't feel joy with this man who's given back his sight. They seem to not understand what St. Irenaeus famously understood when he said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." They were stuck in the law and so didn't see the glory of God being manifested in this man who's given back his sight. The glory of God is a man who sees again. The glory of God is a woman with light in her eyes and in her heart. And we learn a tough lesson from the Pharisees here. They show us that it's possible to be believers without really being good to others. It's possible to be men and women of the church without having mercy. It's possible to work in the name of God, but in such a way that works against the glory of God. And so the Pharisees put us on watch to not just become administrators of the sacred while we remain illiterate in the heart, in the soul, unable to rejoice with those receiving the gift of God. After the Pharisees, so we had the neighbors, the Pharisees, now the parents of the blind men are called in the question. The Pharisees want to know, this son of yours, was he really born blind? And how was he healed? And of course the parents, they witnessed it. They knew that it was Jesus. But here they represent those who believe, but don't give witness. They're silenced out of fear. Now these people, these parents, they may be sensible and sensitive people, but they're without courage in that moment when they could testify to what Jesus has done in the life of their family member, in their own lives. Perhaps they place more importance on the judgment of other men, on their social status in the synagogue, than on speaking the truth, than on the judgment of God. As they're trapped by the fear of what these others might say or do. They seem to lack the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, and perhaps haven't understood deeply yet that the kingdom is this. It's freedom, life, and being able to joyfully witness to that encounter with Jesus. Finally, after the neighbors, the Pharisees, the parents, we come to the man born blind, the man himself. Now this man has been held up for us by our tradition for centuries as an example for all of us on our walk of faith. He's a man who questions himself, who believes, and who then gives witness, a model for all Christians. And it's the Pharisees again who question him at the end of the passage, and they take on that presumptuous, "We know how God operates. We know how God is working in the world. And you, a beggar, a man born blind, born in sin, you want to tell us about God." And so they reveal once again that danger, that sin of us religious people, if we're not careful, to consider themselves wise and therefore judge and disdain others, to think that they possess the truth so entirely that they have nothing to learn from a beggar. Now Jesus turns this logic on its head, just as our first reading, Samuel is told, to stop looking just as a man looks, but consider how God looks at things. And Jesus lets these Pharisees know that they who think they are seeing so clearly are blind. They have knowledge, but they don't have love. This beggar, on the other hand, has that wisdom that comes from love. An illiterate, a beggar, a blind man knows much more than them, because he knows how to marvel, how to see that new way that Jesus offers, and how to give witness to it. Now this blind man, he's given not only to see, but also to see and to recognize Jesus as Lord. And for this, he's held up as an example for us. For this reason, from the earliest days of the church, this gospel passage has been read to catechumens who are preparing for baptism, who are preparing to enter into that full embrace of life in the church. This man who goes from total blindness to recognizing Jesus as Lord. In that humility that we hear him say, "Well, I don't know how it happened. I don't know exactly how to explain it. But I know that I was blind and now I see." And I want to tell you about that. This man is a model of faith for each of us who are moving from blindness to really seeing. Now, it's true that we sometimes fall back into blindness. We sometimes let things get blurry and get fuzzy, things we thought we were so clear about. And so it's good that we're reminded on this Lenten Sunday of Jesus as light of the world, the gift of God that wants to help us to see things, to live in that light, and to do the works of our Father while it is still day.